You're listening to the Filthy Fantasy Football Show.
To another exciting episode of the Filthy Fantasy Football Show, a safe space for all you foul-mouthed fantasy players out there. As always, it's your boys, King Josh, Josh the King, Big Rome, Fantasy Fish.
What the fuck is going on, guys?
How's it going?
If things are friend-shaped, why can't they be your friend? We were talking about deadly, beautiful things, and Fish was getting really deep in on the blue ring octopus.
Yeah, dude, you're
killing it? But some of the, it's crazy how some things... Like, some of those frogs are, like, the prettiest fucking vibrant colors in the world. But if it, like, looks at you weird, the poison will kill you and, like, 10 other people.
Yeah. If it looks at you weird, it gives you cancer.
Yeah. But, like,
yeah,
we were talking about where attractive people live. And we got onto the topic of Australia. Because they probably, like, pound for pound, probably have, like, the most attractive people. But then, like... You can't live there. Like, how do you... I don't know if we have any listeners in Australia, but please, if you do live there, explain to us, how do you live there?
Yeah, I got questions.
In fear.
Questions.
That's how you live. You just live in fear the entire time. You just don't leave your house.
There was a joke, there was a comedian, because, like, the koalas have chlamydia, and they do. You're laughing, but they do. They have, like, a weird... form of chlamydia that can get traced.
Yeah, you're not even supposed to touch them because you could get chlamydia from the koala. Imagine explaining that one to your wife. How did you get chlamydia? Oh, it was a koala.
I touched a koala bear.
Sure.
Jesus Christ.
But then
it just got even worse.
There's a comedian, Theo Vaughn, and they were like, hey, Theo, be careful. Like, don't touch koalas. They have chlamydia. And he's like, motherfucker, I'll give it something. That thing better not touch me.
Dirty motherfucker.
But, no, dude, like, you could be at, like, a 5-star resort in Australia. Everything's all beautiful. You pay top dollar to be at your place. And then you go take a shower and there's, like, a brown recluse spider in your bed. And there's a 14-foot python in the bathroom. It's like, fucking A, man.
It's too much. Like, I don't know. Of the 10 deadliest snakes, they've got, like, 8 of them. And they're just hanging out there. It's like, I'll pass. I don't need to see it. Pretty women, the prettiest ones will leave. They'll come to America where they want to be, where they can survive longer.
Yeah, I guess. Although, I don't know, you got to be careful in LA nowadays. You get robbed just going to fucking like Nordstrom.
True.
True. Yeah, but you're still going to Nordstrom. Yeah, the other one was if you go to the coral reefs, if you're like, I'm going to go to the Great Barrier Reef, I think almost everything in the Barrier Reef is going to kill you.
Yeah.
They got that blue ring octopus, which is tiny, and I think you're just gonna die if it bites you. I don't think there's anything you could do for it.
Isn't it one of the most poisonous creatures on the planet? If like not the most poisonous creature on the planet,
I think the snail's the most poisonous. Like technically, it's toxic. I think it's not poison because poison's when you eat it. Fun fact.
Oh, sorry, sorry, biologist fish.
But, yeah, I think both of them will just basically kill you. Like, you just kind of tax your nervous system, and you go paralyzed, and then you die. And they just, all they do is just pump your ass with drugs so you go out having fun.
Well, Rome, you're also talking about that fish that looks like a rock, but it's not a rock. And then if you touch it,
yeah, that's the snail he was talking about.
That's the snail,
that thing's fucked up.
Oh.
It's just it's got a rock shell, and it's like you get close to it, and it's got little
hypodermic. It's got like a hypodermic needle inside of it, and it just fucking blasts your ass.
It's like neurotoxin, isn't it? Like, it's just, essentially, it paralyzes you. It's fucked up, dude. The whole thing.
This is how I know. This is how I know there's no God, because who would let this exist?
Oh.
Like, what God would create this?
He must have some fucked up disciples, is all I'm saying. That they're like, we're gonna make some shit up. We got you on this one, God.
Says here on the interwebs, so it's 100% right, that a cone snail harbors over 100,000 different bioactive compounds within its venom. So it's like there's just so many different toxins that, like, they're gonna kill your ass.
So it's basically it a nuclear like a weapon fucking... that just chills in the ocean?
Well, I mean, no, because it has to
it's wild.
Strike everybody one at a time. It's, you know, a nuclear weapon's pretty
and there's no cure for it?
No, well, there is. You die.
I think you die. Then it'd be better. Just die. The cure is death. That's it.
Fucking A, man. Yeah,
you'll feel a lot better when you're dead, dude, if you get stung by one of those motherfucking Australian animals.
That's what it is, too. That's what it is that fucks me up. It's the small things, like the snails, the spiders. We're not even talking, like, they've got great whites there that they're just hanging out there all the time. Box jellyfish, all sorts of fucked up saltwater crocodiles. Kangaroos will fuck you up, dude. Like,
they're mean.
They're so mean. And
oh, no, I've seen that everywhere. Video on the internet of the dude boxing out the kangaroo. And I think he won.
First of all,
I think he won.
It was a pretty clean shot to the chin.
That was a good punch.
He clipped him real nice. So I was like,
right in the butt.
Yeah, that video's got to be like 10 years old now.
It sure is, but it was.
You know, I wonder how many kangaroos he's fought since then.
Although, to be fair, I really think if a kangaroo grabbed my dog, I'd probably do the same thing.
I was just going to ask you guys that. Like, what animals would you try to defend? What would you do if, like, a bear came at your dog? What would you do? I'll tell you what I'd do.
Dog's eating that bear. Yeah, well, I was going to say, bear's going to eat my dog then, because you can't fight that.
Nah, dude, bears are the worst.
Kangaroo. So you'd fight a kangaroo?
I'd fight a kangaroo. All
right.
Yeah.
What about, like a small monkey?
No,
I don't know what any types of small monkeys.
Dude, even small monkeys can like rip your fucking ears off and stuff.
I was gonna say they'll probably fucking grab your nuts and just pull them off and start eating them in front of you.
Like, chimps, chimps are wild.
Well, chimps are big and they're strong. That's why I said small monkey.
There was a crazy video because like how apes have like a whole strength that we can't comprehend. So the small monkey, I don't know what you know, like one of those little tiny annoying ones that like snatch purses and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was an orangutan. Eating a banana, and the small monkey runs up and grabs the banana out of the mouth of the orangutan, and he grabbed the little monkey by the head and just squished it like a grape.
Oh shit.
Jesus. I was like, fuck. Like, I didn't know where the video was going with, because I was just watching this video. I was like, oh, it's probably gonna be something funny.
Well, and there was that lady who fucking had a chimpanzee as like a pet. And they were like, you know, they were good friends because it was her pet. And then one day it just like fucking ripped her face off.
Nah, I heard she fucked that monkey.
I'm sure she did, but it still ripped her face off.
I know what story you're talking about, but I'm pretty sure like I read somewhere that she like sexually assaulted that monkey.
Most people that have a weird ass animal as a pet are probably fucking it. Because why else would like Tiger King? What's his name? Joe Exotic.
Oh, Joe Exotic.
He, probably fucking tigers. We're trying. Wouldn't put it past him.
I wouldn't put it past him either. Same with any of the other ones on that fucking... That was a weird show.
Dude, there's a video on the internet somewhere. It's called Mr. Hands. And it is a gentleman who gets fucked in the butt by a horse. And it actually kills him. Because the penis went so deep into him. That it like ruptured everything inside of him.
God, dude.
I have never seen this video. I have no interest in seeing this video, but it does
out there for those of you who want it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, man. Well,
it's a dark place.
Bunch of weirdos. So anyways, hot chicks live in Australia. Yeah. So a bunch of hot chicks live in Australia.
Oh, Haley.
I'm also into some Finnish, you know, anything up north, up where it's cold. Give me those sinus.
I'm just really into muscle mommies right now, dude. Like those fucking buff CrossFit chicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, they're pretty, but they can also help me rearrange the house with furniture and stuff like that. It's kind of nice.
Multitasking. I like where your head's at. That's good shit right there.
It doesn't mean they will help
hot
you.
Hot but useful.
That's true. No, dude, I'd be like, hey, bitch, you weigh 180, but you're like 4% body fat. You talk about how you can like clean and jerk 225 pounds. Pick up this fucking couch. I'd be like, do you not want that trenbolone shot in the ass cheek later? Let me know. Get to work.
Yeah.
Although, you know what's funny? The whole gym trend, talk about muscle mommies, is like how girls have been doing this thing where they wear oversized t-shirts but then they like tuck it into their sports bra, like in the back, to like just expose the ass cheeks of the I call them CrossFit whore shorts. They're just a little tiny, like Spanx shorts, and you're just like, okay, so do you want to be seen or not? I don't understand what we're doing here.
All right, come on, you. All they want is to be seen, stupid bitches. It's all they ever want is to be seen. Then when you look, they're like, oh, how dare you stare at my ass cheeks and my titties?
Well, it's funny.
Shut the hell up.
You know, it's funny, like, because I was at the gym earlier today, and even men, women, it doesn't matter. If someone walks by, you look. You just, your brain sees motion, and you look.
Correct.
And sometimes it's like, and actually at my gym, there are some attractive girls that go there, and you look, but like, I'm not checking them. I'm just working out. I just happen to look in their general direction. You're like, oh, she's pretty. Then you get back to doing your own thing. I mean, maybe they think it's weird because I take my pants and shirt off and I'm just standing there naked, you know, pinching my nipples and stuff in the corner. But that's besides the point. I'm there to work out, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's your exercise. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
I'm just doing cardio.
I exercise
cardio.
How I want and you exercise how you want.
Yeah. This is called tantric exercising. It's like, it's all about edging. Just getting really close. And then
there it is. Fucking hell.
But it's just like you said, I just, because there's a couple girls at the gym today, like, they even like, dude, I swear, they pull their pants like into their ass crack. Like, they wedgie themselves. And it's like, dude, you're basically walking around in your underwear. And yeah,
well,
you're
to
going
be fair,
to draw attention.
It goes both ways, though. You think Christian McCaffrey was walking without his shirt on for fun the other day? No. He was like, look at these fucking abs.
And you know what I did? Yeah, I reposted it. It was like, this is fucking beautiful. Everybody should see this.
It goes both ways.
Everybody should.
It's called being a human.
Little known fact, if I actually shaved my chest and stomach, Christian McCaffrey and I basically have the same body.
Totes.
Basically. We're basically the same guy. Speaking of beautiful running backs, we're going to be talking rookie running backs today.
Yeah.
Actually, tiny bit of news. Allen Robinson's going to get traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They don't suck there, too.
You know what's funny? Dude, I swear, the Rams, if they did not win that Super Bowl, Sean McVay and the whole front office would be out of a job. Because they make so many questionable moves. And this trade was stupid, too. So the Rams, they jump up like 17 spots in the 7th round. So they swap 7th round picks with the Steelers. So they go up about 17 spaces. And then they're still going to pay either 10 or 15 of the 15 or 20 million. There's a 5 million discrepancy. I can't remember if it's, but either way, they're going to pay. 10. Okay. So they're paying 60. They're paying 2/3 of Allen Robinson's contract to just move up 17. Like if I was like, you'd be just fucking keep him. It doesn't seem worth it to me. Although then I saw some fucking guy on Twitter, and I wasn't going to go start an argument with this guy, but he's like, Allen Robinson going to Pittsburgh. I think he's going to be in line for 700 to 800 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns. And I want to be like, how fucking high are you right now?
Yeah. I mean, I liked Allen Robinson for a long time, and I know Rome did too. And we both kind of thought like, oh, he's going to the Rams. He'll be able to turn it around. He got Cooper Kupp opposite of him. He's got a good quarterback. And after he didn't do anything there, I'm out, dude. The ship has sailed.
Well, like, especially, he's going to be competing with George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, and Najee Harris catches balls as well. And then Kenny Pickett's the quarterback. So it's like he's, realistically, Allen Robinson, maybe 700 yards, two to four touchdowns is my, like, I just don't see, there's not a lot of opportunity there for him in Pittsburgh.
I agree with you. And I'm still sticking to my narrative that from our first episode here of the offseason is the Rams are going to pick up Kenny Golladay.
Actually, Kenny Golladay is actually someone I'm trying to pick up in Dynasty right now. Because he's not going to cost you much. And I haven't quite given up on him yet. He's had 2,000 yards. I think he just didn't want to be in New York, honestly.
Shouldn't have signed there then. But they gave him a lot of money.
But they offered him like $75 million. So he was like, fuck it.
I mean, you could say the same thing about Allen Robinson, right? Everybody was saying the same thing.
Yeah, but Allen Robinson has had some major injuries. I think he tore an ACL, I want to say twice. I think he did it. I want to say he did it in college and he did it in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think he's also older.
And he's older. That's why Kenny Golladay, like, if you're in a startup dynasty and you're at like round 20 and fucking Kenny Golladay's still out there, pick him up. Who cares? Worst case scenario, he's a waiver wire fodder, you know, later if you need to drop somebody.
Yep.
Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson moving, that, and that doesn't really help the Rams either, though, because now you lose a pass catching option. Overall, I don't like the trade. I think it was dumb. I mean, it's a great move for Pittsburgh. You didn't really give up anything, and you're only going to pay $5 million of Allen Robinson's contract, and you just added a veteran wide receiver to your wide receiver room. So I like it for Pittsburgh. I just don't think it has a lot of fantasy relevance.
No, not at all.
So, and then I think that's it for news. I haven't really seen anything else. Oh, Odell Beckham signed with Baltimore. I don't think we brought that up.
Oh, yeah. We missed that yesterday.
Meh. Well, I think they brought him in to be like, look, Lamar, look what we can do. And then Lamar watched somebody else get signed that he's better than for way more money, like we talked about yesterday. And that's like, I don't know, dude. Odell Beckham doesn't move the needle for me. You're talking about a guy. We talking about a guy who fucking was tearing ACLs before in Allen Robinson. Well, the same shit happened to Beckham.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened recently. Like, I sat out all last year. I don't know, man. I'm hoping. Like, I've always liked Odell, but boy, oh boy, in that offense. And especially if Lamar. Imagine if Lamar doesn't come back. Now let's look at that as a whole and be like, is Odell going to fix Baltimore? No. The receivers are still going to be a problem.
So that's the thing with Odell. I mean, if this was like 5 years ago, I'd be like, hell yeah. Baltimore, fuck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Odell hasn't had 1,000 yards since 2019. He hasn't been a wide receiver two since 2019. He is now 30, which, you know, that starts to get to that. And it's so funny because we're all 35, 36, so it's funny to say that, like, oh, 30's so old. But, I mean, 30's, you're starting to get to that, you know, your tail end of your career. He missed all of last year, so that means he was never that healthy. Who knows how healthy he is right now? I mean, I'm assuming he's healthy enough for Baltimore. They probably gave him – I'm assuming they gave him a physical. He passed, and then he signed for a lot of fucking money, too. It's an $18 million contract with like 15 guaranteed. And it's like, damn, good for you, yeah. Odell.
It was way too much money for what Odell's going to offer.
And the problem is now you're coming to a run first offense where you're going to be the second or maybe third option. Cause the offense runs through, or the passing game runs through Mark Andrews. And then despite the lack of production, I think a lot of it was bad quarterback play / injuries, but Rashad Bateman's there, and now you got Odell Beckham, who is seemingly healthy. I don't know.
I will say this, though, just to touch on it, because they've had a change in their offensive coordinator. Greg Roman is no longer there, so it's Todd Monken now, and I don't know if he's going to be as run heavy as Roman was.
I think the offense will probably have to steer away from being so run heavy, especially if they can get Lamar to sign a $200 million guaranteed deal. They're going to be like, stop running so much.
Yeah. Like, you're going to be passing the ball a little bit more.
We're turning you into a pocket passing quarterback. You're going to be late Michael Vick, like the late when he came back from prison, Michael Vick, where he did run from time to time, but he mostly stayed in the pocket, just threw deep balls for Philadelphia. Right.
I can see it.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, it's nice to see Odell go somewhere. And it's also kind of funny because Aaron Rodgers wanted Odell to sign with the Jets. And it didn't happen because Aaron Rodgers can go eat a dick.
I'm waiting for Aaron Rodgers, the deal to fall through with the Jets. and them have to sit in the fucking shitty ass. They shit the bed and now they have to lay in it when it comes to Wilson, like we talked about yesterday. And they don't have everything that they, I don't know, they're just not going to get Rodgers. I think Rodgers, if that's the case, he might end up in San Francisco. I've heard some interesting things that they might, that they're kind of waiting in the wings to see what happens because they're not sold on Lance and they're not, Purdy's apparently near death. So he had a very short-lived career.
Well, there was rumors that Purdy, after the Tommy John surgery, won't be ready for the season.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And this is the funny part though, is, you know, the Niners traded up to get Trey Lance, and I don't think they want to admit that they made a mistake.
They did. As a Niner fan, they made mistakes.
Well, you gave up a lot of draft capital for a quarterback that you don't want. So
they wanted him then, and they played, and they were like, oh.
Oh, they're like, oh, shit, he's not good. Abort. Abort the plan.
But I think that if, let's touch on what we were talking about yesterday. If Rodgers does end up going to San Francisco, are they a Super Bowl favorite?
I don't know favorite, but they'd definitely be a contender. Because, I mean, if Brock Purdy had
beat them. Who's going to beat him in the NFC? They'd be a favorite in the NFC to make the Super Bowl.
The New Orleans Saints with Derek Carr.
Gross.
That's right.
All of that is gross. And who's their running back this year? Because it ain't going to be Alvin.
They got Jamal Williams.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah.
So worried about
fuck
over
you.
There.
Yeah. Have, yeah, you scared?
Jamal Williams.
Scared now?
He's going to be so good. Yeah. No, I'm not scared. Because if they have Rodgers and let Lance learn, let Lance sit and learn behind one of the greatest to ever do it.
Watch, sneaky dark horse for NFC is going to be the Seahawks.
I wouldn't be shocked. I really wouldn't.
Their defense is pretty good. You know, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Geno Smith had a pretty successful year. If Geno Smith can improve on what he did last year,
mm-hmm.
you know, Seahawks yep. could be. Ken Walker's legit.
Ken Walker's good. They signed back Bobby Wagner on the defensive side of the ball. I think it's, yeah, man, they're in good shape. They're not a bad team, and they have the 5th overall pick in this year's draft, so they can get something for the future.
How
like
they
I have
with
them
the
do
5th?
Denver.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
The Russell Wilson trade.
God damn, good for you, Seattle.
Dude, they killed it, man. They really did.
Which actually stinks, because like I actually don't like the Seahawks. I've just never been a fan of theirs. And it's annoying when they're good, especially now living north of the wall, Game of Thrones reference. But now that I live north of the wall, there's a lot of Seahawks people around town. It's just like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, though, the Eagles could beat him.
Well,
the
I
Cowboys
think
could
be
probably beat him.
It would be another showdown.
Oh, I agree.
Cowgirls ain't beating shit.
You know what?
Those,
I'm going to throw this out
boys.
There. Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback for the Niners and actually be pretty good.
That's crazy talk.
I'm only saying that because I have Darnold in a super flex league and I need him to be good. Because I have no good quarterbacks.
I hate it. But you know what? Look. He's a good quarterback, man. I think in the right system, he can find success.
Yeah, and what's his face? Kyle Shanahan's not a bad. He's a good coach. You know,
yeah, he can be a quarterback whisperer. He made Jimmy look really good, and I don't know if Jimmy's really that good.
Jimmy's fine, but in his system,
I know
Jimmy...
he's good looking. That's
I was going to say we're not talking about his looks.
Man, if only Jimmy Garoppolo could be as talented as he is beautiful.
Yeah, seriously.
He would
be
really
the greatest
good,
quarterback of all time.
Just a fantastic jawline.
Who was it? There was someone. They met Jimmy Garoppolo in person, and they were like, I just couldn't get over how attractive he was. Like, he was just so handsome. And he was all nice, and he was just all smiling and happy. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, I'm not even into dudes, but do you want to, like, get out of here and go grab a drink? All right. Enough chit-chat. Let's talk about some of them beautiful, beautiful players coming into the league. Got some big name running backs. It's kind of hard. Like, we try to gauge like where they would go. I mean, I guess we could say where we would like to see a player end up. And then, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to gauge just because drafts can go so, especially running backs. Like, it's so hard to predict. Because there's a chance, like, Bijan. I saw a mock draft where Bijan didn't get drafted in the first round at all. He was, like, the beginning of day two, which that could happen. You never know. I mean, it probably won't. But stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. You're right.
But let's start it off with our number one running back. Everybody's number one running. I'm actually, you know what's funny? I'm actually, because we were all in on Breece Hall last year, but Bijan Robinson hype is bigger than the Breece Hall hype, and it's for real. Because, you know, Breece Hall, we were super excited about, good skill set and everything else. But it's kind of like, we need him to land in a good position. Whereas Bijan, we were saying yesterday, I don't care where he ends up. He's going to be great no matter where he goes.
Yeah.
I think the other piece too is last year there was more really good running backs.
That's so like, true.
Not everybody was sold on Breece Hall being the 1-on-1. You know, some people wanted Walker. Now it's pretty much set in stone that this is your guy.
But that is true. That's a good point, Fish. Last year, you know, the running back 101 last year, people were going Ken Walker. People were going Breece Hall. Some people even were considering James Cook at the rookie 101 because of, you know, going to the Bills. And he was a talented running back.
Yep.
So, but Bijan is clearly the 101. Like, there is no... Rome, you're our college guy. What are your thoughts on Bijan?
I think Bijan Robinson is clearly the number one overall pick this year. He doesn't do anything bad. Let's just say that. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's ran for over 3,400 yards. He has 33 touchdowns. His yards per carry is 6.3. Now, watching all as much film as I've watched on this guy, he's a powerful runner, and his change of direction is out of this world. He's going to make people miss constantly. There's another thing that I think a lot of people touch on it, but I think it jumps off the page. He's got elite vision, and his patience waiting for blocks to kind of go through their progressions. I consider him, and this is why I believe he's going to be so good. He is a more explosive Le'Veon Bell.
Mm.
And Le'Veon like Bell, we're talking about a guy who was a fucking stud for a decent chunk of time. I mean, he was the first overall pick in redrafts.
Yeah.
I think Bijan Robinson has that talent. He's got more top-end speed than Le'Veon Bell ever even thought about having.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's kind of one of those guys in fantasy, for fantasy purposes, that's just, you can't miss. He's a can't-miss guy.
Like, to me, Bijan... He kind of reminds me of like the MVP year of Todd Gurley, where like how you said, he watches like the run block scheme develop, and then like there were hints. I mean, granted, he was a little more flashier, but he kind of also in college reminded me of Reggie Bush when he was in college, where he just made people look stupid. You know, like I always think back on that USC Fresno State game where Reggie Bush ran to one sideline and then just completely redirected and just ran all the way across the field for like a 60 yard touchdown.
Exactly.
Like Bijan has that kind of skill set. Like, I mean, he's more of a powerful guy. Like, he does have the quick first step, but he's more like he's kind of like a LaDainian Tomlinson, where he's not the fastest guy on the field, but if you get him into space, he's going to break a lot of ankles. And
oh, yeah.
Bijan is so much fun to watch. And I would argue that he would be a first-round pick in redraft leagues. Like, kind of like how we were touching on it. Like, Saquon and Zeke were, like, the last two rookie running backs that I wouldn't hate taking in the first round of a redraft league. Okay. I'll dial that back a little bit because it does kind of depend on landing. Like, in Dynasty, obviously, it doesn't matter where he ends up. In redraft, it would kind of depend on where he ends up, because if he goes to, I don't know,
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, where there's some other running backs there, or if he went to New York Giants where they have Saquon, or if he, you know, where it could kind of muddy it up a little bit, right. that could lower his redraft value. But I don't know. Like, but if he landed in the right spot, he'd be a top 7 pick in redraft.
Yeah, I think that because he just, like I said, he does so much, man. Not only does he run the ball well, we're talking about a guy who made 60 receptions for 805 yards and 8 touchdowns catching the ball. I mean, he does everything. He's just a can't miss guy. There's not even anything else we need to say about him, because he's, if you have a chance at him, you fucking take him. If there's an idiot that you're in a dynasty league with that doesn't take him number one, you better cum your pants first and foremost, and then pick him up at number two.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Although, I actually saw a thing, and it was really interesting. I saw it on Twitter, and Rome, I think you would appreciate this. The 49ers should move Christian McCaffrey to slot and then draft Bijan Robinson.
If they had a first-round pick or even a second-round pick, I would imagine that would be a possibility, but they sure don't.
Cause like,
they don't draft until the third round. But yeah, I agree with you.
Because someone said, like, I don't know why Christian McCaffrey doesn't play the slot, because since he's had some injury, you know, issues, move him to the slot where he doesn't get hit as much, but then now he's
brilliant.
Yeah, now he can catch like the slants and not have to, you know, put him, because if you put McCaffrey in a one-on-one, you know, against a linebacker, he's going to win every time.
Correct.
But I mean, that's beside. But yeah, Bijan, beautiful, beautiful chocolate man. There's a he's my front runner for my potential boyfriend this year, because Antonio Gibson,
not cutting it.
I'll take it.
I have to try to claim dibs early.
He called him first. That could be your boyfriend. That's fine. I get it. But I'm going to talk about a guy that he's going to be my boyfriend. I'm calling it right now. Okay, and it's the guy that I have at 2. It's a lot different than anybody else. Everybody's saying, oh, Rome, you must be talking about fucking Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, guess what? I'm not. I'm talking about a guy who I actually think is comparable to Bijan Robinson in a lot of ways. I'm talking about Zach Charbonnet from UCLA. Mm-hmm. And here's the reason I have him rated as high as I do and why I think people sleep on him more. He's from UCLA. Nobody gets to see this kid play primetime games because he's in the Pac-12. They're fucking playing at 10 o'clock at night. Nobody from the East Coast knows who the fuck this kid is. This kid right here, I'm telling you right now, he is one of the most ferocious running backs I've ever seen play the game. Like, he is cut from an old school cloth, where if you think you're going to fucking tackle this guy, he's going to knock you backwards. I compare him watching his film to a Marshawn Lynch. I really believe that what he brings to the table is just, he's a big guy, 6 foot, 214 pounds. He ran a 4.5, which is better than people thought he was going to run. You know, he touched the ball a decent amount, 566 times in college. He ran for 3,300 yards. He outscored on the ground Bijan Robinson. He had 39 touchdowns, 5.9 yards per carry, so we'll round that up to 6. He made 75 catches for 590 yards. I mean, this guy, he's going to be a sneaky, sneaky second-day pick for somebody, where if he comes in a perfect situation, he could easily make a splash, and I'd be honored to call him my boyfriend. I would be honored.
Yeah, I like him a lot. If you watch him play, he doesn't get tackled by one person very often. Oh. It's gang tackling, and he's usually dragging you 3-4 yards along with it. Like Rome said, I think you got it here for his 40. He ran a 4.5, so he's not the fastest, but that's not really slow by any means either. You know, maybe some cornerbacks could chase him down, but they aren't going to bring him down. It's going to take multiple.
It's so funny how we're calling 4.5 not fast. When, like, I think if I ran a 40,
it's fast.
I just, it's funny, because like, if I did a 40-yard dash, I think it'd be like 7 seconds.
I was going to say it'd probably take me like 10 seconds.
Dude, when I was playing college ball, I ran a 6 fucking flat. And I was like, oh man, I'm not NFL material. Jesus Christ.
No, but I actually had a fever dream that in the first round, because I don't think Bijan falls at the Chargers at 21. Plus, drafting a running back in the first round is always risky. But I had a fever dream. What if at 21 Chargers took either JSN or Quentin Johnson and then Zach Charbonnet in the second round? I would be so happy about that, especially because Charbonnet, local kid, UCLA.
Fuck
yeah. He doesn't have to move. And
fuck yeah.
Although I'm not giving up on Isaiah Spiller. I still think he could become a thing for the again, I'm getting off course. But yeah, Zach Charbonnet, man, he's everything the part, and I think any NFL team is going to be very lucky to draft him. He's a bigger bodied guy, which you kind of like, 6'2", 14. They'll probably beef him up to like 220, 225 probably.
Easy.
So maybe he won't be as fast as he was in college, but but he runs angry. Like Marshawn Lynch is probably like the perfect comp for him, where, yeah. And I love how Fish was talking about gang tackling is the only thing that works on him, And then if you beef him up to like 220, 225, dude, he will probably be, in terms of these rookie running backs, if he gets, obviously situation matters, blah, blah, blah. He'll probably be the most effective red zone running back of these running backs because he scores. He's got a nose for the end zone. Again,
sure does.
He kind of like shades of Todd Gurley, where, Todd Gurley just knew how to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. This guy, what's funny? I actually like Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's super talented, but he's little. And I worry about little running backs. Because, he's bigger than Darren Sproles, but not by much. I think they weighed about the same, but he's just taller than Darren Sproles. But, like, running back's a tough position. Take a lot of hits. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, he looked great in college, in my opinion. Especially in an Alabama system that just seems to crank out NFL stud running backs. But my concern is just sub 200 pounds. I mean, he's a great pass catcher. So, I mean, who knows? Like, maybe he ends up a slot receiver in the NFL. I don't know. But
I mean, I think he could do that. He can go slot receiver. The way I look at Jahmyr Gibbs, I think that he's in this class, he's the most explosive. If he catches the ball or if he sees an opening, man, he's going to hit it and he's going to go running 4.36. Like he's got the explosiveness that you're looking for in a running back position. I think that, in the right system, he's going to be able to, at least for fantasy purposes. Okay. He's probably going to be on par with Robinson. And here's the reason I say that. In Charbonnet, he might be a dynasty fit. It really depends on the situation. I think no matter where Gibbs goes, he's going to be fantasy relevant simply because of his ability to catch the ball and because he's a kick returner. So he's immediately going to be getting you some type of yardage and he's going to be on the field faster. So I think that is something that is big for him fantasy purposes. Again, I'm not going to necessarily say he's small. Like, he's just off of fucking 200. He'll be 200 when they beef him up. If he starts, getting in the weight room, a pro weight room, like, he'll be fine. It's just, I was interested to see him because I've been following him since he was at Georgia Tech at college, and I thought he was fucking a beastie cakes there. And then I was like, oh, shit, he went to Alabama. Let's see how this goes. And he looked good. He didn't shit the bed at Alabama. He played up to the competition and still did very well. I'm super excited about Gibbs. I don't think any of these three guys, if you take him in your fucking first round of your dynasty draft, I think you're in good shape, man. You've got a running back that can do some things for a while.
I think also with Gibbs is you're going to get that pass. He got 100 passes in college. So if you're in a PPR league, that you're going to get a running back that is going to get passing production as well. And you know how valuable that can be because a lot of them don't.
Right.
You also see, like, when he's in space, he's hard to get to gather. You know, he's like slippery. So, you know, that's what happens with these small guys is, you know, yeah, they're small and they're at risk of being injured, but like if you could get a hold of them and lay a hit on them, sure, but they're hard to get a hold of. If you put a guy like this, and this is, I don't think this will happen, but if you put a guy like this in Miami with Waddle and Hill, and they just run a spread, like he's going to be in open field so often that it would be super beneficial. Now, if you put him on one of the slogging teams that runs the ball a lot, I think he'd be in trouble, but there's definitely a spot for him.
I agree.
Watch, Kansas City is going to draft him, and he'll be what they wanted Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be.
Possible.
It could be good. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, and then obviously, I think it kind of goes without saying, Gibbs and Robinson are obviously first-round picks in a rookie draft. Charbonnet, landing spot would be a first-round pick for me, but if it's not the greatest landing spot, I'd be okay with taking him in the second round. Because we're going to get to wide receivers in the next episode, because there's a lot of good wide receivers. Well, I don't know. I like some of the wide receivers in this upcoming draft. So, but actually, I don't know. I'd probably still take Charbonnet in the first round. He's good.
Yeah, I think if you need depth too at running back, like he's going to end up taking the job. Cream is going to rise, baby. Cream rises every time.
All right, Rome, who's your next guy? Who do you like next?
All right, so the guy I have ranked at 4 here is Sean Tucker out of Syracuse.
I like this kid. There's
something about this guy. Yeah. He's sneaky good. Like, when you look at what he is capable of and what he's done, he has run the ball a shitload, 3,100 yards, 27 touchdowns. He does a lot receiving. He's a scrappy runner, man. He finds holes that aren't there. He's not really a big downfield. Like, he just sort of rumbles. And he's not an overly big guy, but he's just fucking scrappy, man. There's something about a scrappy running back that I've always liked that I think will find success fantasy football-wise and just in general, man. In general, he runs downhill and tough. I like this kid a lot. I think that a lot of people are kind of souring on him for whatever reason. I'm not going to sour on him. I think he's going to be great.
What I like about Tucker is he plays bigger than he actually is. And a lot of his weight's in his legs. He kind of like, he doesn't have the quite as tree trunky legs as like Maurice Jones-Drew, but dude, he's got the thick legs, the thick butt, you know, the low center of gravity or center mass, whatever you want to call it for a running back. And
yeah.
I think he's going to like, yeah, he's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy. He's not like the strongest guy, but dude, I don't know. I dig him. You know, I like what I saw from him coming out of college. I think he can, you know, any team could benefit greatly by having a guy like that for a few years. So
fuck yes, agreed.
Fish, were you going to say something before I rudely interrupted you?
No, you're good. If I did, I don't remember what it was.
Fair enough. But yeah, like I just like it is funny just seeing Tucker kind of slide on like the big boards and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know, man, he looks good to me. Like he, you know, they list him at just a little over 200 pounds at 5'9", but I swear, dude, he plays bigger than that. Like if you told me he was 5'10", 220, I'd believe it. Or like 230, I'd believe it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
The next running back, your number 5. Which I'm high on this guy. I think he's, spoiler, it's Rockshon Johnson. He was the backup to Bijan Robinson. And the reason why I like Rockshon, he's bigger than Bijan. He's not the fastest guy, ran a 4.59. But what I like about him, though, is since Bijan was destroying offenses, he didn't take a lot of the hits, so the wear and tear is a little lower, and he still rushed. I think he had 1,000 yards last year, didn't he?
I'm pretty sure. I know that he's got 2,100, about 2,200 yards in almost 100 and something less carries than Robinson.
Yeah.
So he's still getting it done. He jumps off the screen to me, man. When I'm watching his game film and his highlights, he just jumps off the screen. There's something to be said about a running back that just sort of runs big and tough and strong. And he does. Like, he's if he wasn't sitting behind Bijan Robinson, we might be talking about this kid as the fucking number one. Like, that's the way I feel about him. I think that he brings something to the table. There's an explosiveness in how he runs. And I get it. He only ran a 4.6. Look, here's the other kicker of it. I could give a fuck less about straight line speed on a running back. I really don't care. Like, if you run a 4.36, good on you, Jameer, that's great. I'm happy for you. If you run a 4.6, you're still fast as fuck. And if you're making moves and running well, dude, you're set. Like, I'm all in on this kid.
I think you said it yourself maybe a few seasons ago, Rome. For running back, like, I care more about the cone drill.
Yeah.
Like, how fast can you change speed?
Yeah.
Or change direction.
Which, ironically enough, none of them fucking ran it this year. It's like they heard me and they were like, oh, Rome, that's what you like? Fuck you. We're not running it at all in the combine. Because there's not one fucking guy here that ran that fucking cone drill.
That's the thing. Like
it's probably dangerous too. Like, that's a good way to blow your knee out. Not worth the risk, you know.
But the 40-yard dash, that's more for wide receivers. Like, that's like,
it's more for
running backs. It's like, once you get into the secondary, can you outrun everybody?
Yeah.
On a broken play. That's really
But like, I'm actually looking at Rockshon Johnson's stat line. So he actually never, his 2,000 yards came over the span of 4 years. So 640, 418, 569, and 554. But he only topped 100 carries once. But he scored 7, 6, 5, and 5 touchdowns. He rushed for basically 6 yards a carry throughout his entire career in college. And so I just think Bijan's just that good, obviously. He's a stud. But Rockshon, if he went to a different school, probably would have been the starter. And I like I said, there's not a lot of miles on the legs, which is great, you know, because that was actually kind of a concern for Breece Hall coming in last year, because I think he had like a combined like 1,000 or 800 carries or some shit like that, like coming into the pros.
Yeah, and he got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Rockshon has, like I said, he 123, 80, 96, and 93 carries. So the legs will be a little fresher, took less hits, still scored touchdowns, you know, in a limited role, and like, way to capitalize with the opportunity that you're given. And actually what's funny is, Rome, you and I talked about like a week or two ago, I was like, fuck, Chargers should just draft Rockshon Johnson, cause they probably get him in the third round.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
But all right, moving on. Rome, who you like next?
So I have at 6, I have Zach Evans out of Ole Miss, formerly of TCU. I mean, we're talking about another downhill runner, man. Here's the thing with this entire rookie class. They're all fucking good. There's not one guy here in 15 that I have rated under a 4-star player. It's kind of just pick your poison. Like, pick what you don't like out of a guy, or pick what you fucking love out of a guy. Zach Evans, he brings a powerful run style. He has not carried the ball a shitload. He's only carried the ball 290 times in his career. So we're talking about a guy who's going to have decently fresh legs. You know, the stats aren't necessarily there. He had almost 2,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, but his yards per carry, boys, is 6.9. Like, we're talking about a guy who's a 7-yard clip every time he touches the fucking ball. You know, on top of that, I just think that with his size and his power, he gets it done. I mean, my one thing that I kind of watching him don't like is he does have a hard time reading wide receiver blocks downfield. Like, there's so many times I'm watching this guy's highlight and he's running hard as shit, and he'll just run into a fucking guy that is blocking for him.
He'll run into his blocker, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? just make a move and get going upfield, and you can make it even better. But it just seems like he has a very hard time getting past that third level of defense, a safety, a corner, any of those guys. He can't quite figure it out, which is why he's my first downtick of my five-star players, because I think he does have the talent to be there, but I just think he makes a couple of mistakes when he runs, and that's where it knocked him down to.
Yeah. I agree with everything. So
perfect.
You know what's funny? We're actually, we fucked around too much at the beginning of the show.
We can do like the top 10.
We're running a little long, so I mean,
here, let me hit you guys then with the with just the guys you need to know.
Actually, there's two that I actually want to ask you about, because they're lower on your list than a lot of people, would be Muhammad Ibrahim and Tanks Bigsby. Those are the two.
Can Tanks Bigsby just be a thing because it's fucking, it'd be so cool if there was a good running back named Tank Bigsby. Like, it's a great name. He's got to be good.
I mean, both of those guys, dude, they are low on my list. I just feel like Tank should have been a thing. And he just, every time I watched any of his film or his highlights, it's like, man, he just, nothing pops. Okay, when I'm looking for guys, I want to see guys pop. I'll tell you, the most fun I ever had watching a highlight film, and again, it's really how you put it together, but the guy, fucking Saquon Barkley, all those years ago when he came out, I watched 8 minutes of a 10-minute highlight film. He didn't get fucking tackled. He didn't get touched for 8 minutes. Do you know how hard that is to do? Like, I get it. It's editing, and that's how you put it in. If you have 8 minutes of film where you're not being touched, okay, you're jumping off the screen because every fucking play is a touchdown. Like, this guy is just, it's ridiculous how he was able to do it. And every time I watch Tank or even Muhammad, it's just sort of a grinded out type shit. Muhammad is also only 5'8". Yeah, he's 203 pounds, but he's just a little dude from Minnesota. And I don't.
Who's got 900 carries under his legs.
Correct. And that's, I think, what a lot of people like about him. They're like, oh, he's fucking played so many games and look at all of his rushing yards. And it's like, dude, he has 900 fucking carries. He better have that many fucking yards.
Well, he's averaging 5.4, which is pretty good, but
yeah,
it's still like you said about Breece Hall, like, he got hurt. This is not a big bodied guy who's able to take a lot of punishment. He's 5'8". You know, yeah, he's 200 pounds, but that's, I don't know. It's a lot of carries. Yes, he's still, the good thing is they're still young, right? They're in college. The other thing with Muhammad, though, is he's never really proven himself as a receiver. In all that time, he has 22 receptions.
Correct.
And like,
that is 100%.
That's a big downside, especially in a PPR league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the reasons, like I said, with both of those guys. The guys that I think are very interesting, there's two that I've caught on to. I caught on to. Tajay Spears out of Tulane, and I get it. He's a small school kid out of Tulane. The one film that jumped off to me was his bowl game appearance against SC. He dominated that game. SC is a good fucking football team. They're a good team. No matter how you want to slice it, they get great recruits. They do their thing. And this kid said, okay, nope, I don't give a shit. I'm going to fucking dominate. And he went out there and he fucking dominated. He does a lot of shit right. He makes a lot of catches, makes a lot of people miss. He uses his size and his speed well, and he just shows up, man, in big games. So
yep,
every game is a big game at the next level, and I think people are going to see that, and it's going to translate very, very well.
He's actually one of the few people on here, because like I said before, I don't follow college football a lot. I kind of come in around now and start watching highlight and looking at numbers. I'm more of a numbers guy anyways. But a lot of people in New Orleans want him on the Saints because he's from Louisiana, Tulane's in Louisiana. He would stay. So I was like, all right, let me watch this guy. The one thing that I like about him, if you watch his highlight film, there's two or three things in particular. The first one is making cuts. He makes cuts extremely well, and he's great on counter plays, but also in the open field. He just great cuts, great change of direction with speed. But he's also got a pretty incredible balance. If you watch also in his highlight film or even just watch games, like if he stumbles, he usually gets back under, gets his feet back under him and keeps going. He's not a stumble and fall down type of guy. And, you know, this is in college where you can't even have one knee or an elbow down. Like, he has good balance. And a lot of people that I saw, you know, watching that compared his balance to like a Kamara, because Kamara does that all the time. He just practices balance. And he says, if I could be balanced, it would be harder for them to tackle me. So I'll just bounce off and I should be down, but I'm still balanced and I keep going. But yeah, but his cutbacks, go watch him do some cutback runs. They're fucking damn good.
I agree. And the other guy that I think is super duper interesting. Okay, Josh, you're probably going to shit yourself because when you look at his size, you're going to be like, that's ridiculous. And I'm talking about fucking Deuce Vaughn. This fucking kid is 5'5", 180. I'll give him the fucking benefit of the doubt. He's a little human. Okay, but there's also been another little human that was very, very good that this kid reminds me of that actually came out of the same fucking school. I'm talking about Darren Sproles. What Deuce Vaughn brings to the table is not only an unbelievable resume, he can do everything. He's ran the ball 651 times for 3,600 yards and 34 touchdowns, right? 5.5 yards a carry. He's made 116 catches for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. The production alone makes me interested, right? He's played at Kansas State. Not a big school, Big 12. Defenses aren't always fucking good. I get it. I don't care. That's what you should do at that school, and he did it. He's a little guy, and you want to talk about scrappy. He fucking is scrappy. If anybody that listens says, I want to go see a fun highlight to watch, pull up fucking Deuce, all right? Deuce Vaughn is the fucking man. And I think he's going to be, I'm interested. The only reason I have him rated here at 11 is the size. It does make me nervous because they do break down. But if he finds a system that works for him, dude, I think he's going to be good. And again.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, he's very much like Gibbs. He's kind of in the same thing. Like, he can play anything. He's going to get reps as a third down back at the very least because he can catch.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to be one of two things, right? You said the first one already. It could be like a Darren Sproles, right? Mm-hmm. Darren Sproles did last a pretty good amount of time for a small back. He was a pretty good receiver, great in the open field. Or he's going to be Tariq Cohen, right? And he's going to get banged up and be knocked out of the league within 4 years. Be super flashy when he's there and when he's playing, right? I feel like it's going to be one of those two. It'll certainly be interesting. I don't know. 5'5 is was Darren Sproles even that small?
Wasn't Darren Sproles like
5'8"?
He was like 5'6".
5'6"?
Yeah,
okay.
Damn. He was little, but 5'5", I mean, he's a special kind of small.
Yeah, with those tackles to the head, man, every tackle on him is going to be a penalty. You might as well just put him in there let him get tackled.
You know, and here's the thing, just to touch on what you said, because that's brilliant, Fish. You're right. If he's Tariq Cohen, right? We're fantasy guys. Tariq Cohen was a fucking thing. He was a thing in our world. And it's not like he was great, but he was still a thing that you wanted to go out and get. Deuce Vaughn is going to be an interesting pickup that I think you can probably find late in drafts. And he's going to be something that matters. It's that can help you out long run. I really believe that.
All right, just to recap for you beautiful people out there, Rome's top 15 college running backs. You got Bijan Robinson, Zach Charbonnet, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sean Tucker, Rockshon Johnson, Zach Evans, Tyjae Spears, Chase Brown, Devin Akane, Israel Wakanda Forever, Deuce Vaughn, Dwayne McBride, Tank Bigsby, Muhammad Ibrahim, and Tavion Thomas.
Yes, sir.
So those are some studs, you know. Again, when the season gets closer and we know where some of these guys end up after the draft, we'll circle back and talk about the fantasy relevance these players have. Because, you know, like Rockshon Johnson, you know, we love the guy, but if he goes to Houston, it's like, well, he's going to share with Pierce and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, maybe not, you know, the greatest landing spot.
It's all about the landing spot.
Exactly.
The landing spot is like equally as important as the player.
sometimes you landing spots sometimes even more important than the player, because like this is true. I mean, granted, I was like the only fan of Tyler Allgeier last year, and then he ended up in Atlanta, which happened to be a good landing spot for him because he wasn't the most talented running back, but he eventually became the starter and was decent at the end of the year. You know, so landing spot is sometimes more important than, because you could be a stud, but if your team sucks, your team sucks. Especially like at the running back position, because if your team sucks and you're losing, you're probably not running the ball. You're gonna be passing it, and they generally don't check down to the running back because you need yards, you need points. So we'll circle back to that. There's still some time before the NFL draft.
And
stuff. So
yeah.
Well, cool. That's the podcast for tonight, guys. Thank you for listening. It's good to be back. Again, tell your friends. Spread the word. We're back, baby.
Fuck yeah.
We're on like Donkey Kong. Getting back into season shape. Fighting shape.
Yeah, spread it like koalas spread chlamydia. Yeah. Rapidly.
Yeah. And fiercely. Feverishly spread it. But again, thank you for listening, guys. Get us on social media. At Filthy F-Ball Show is the show Twitter. Get Big Rome at Big Rome FFF. Fantasy Fish is at F Football Fish. Instagram us at Filthy Fantasy Football Show and send in your emails to filthyfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. Again, thank you guys for listening. Love you. King Josh King.
Big Rome.
Fantasy Fish.